The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Bob is our friendgineer. He's my friend. He's our engineer. And he's our producer, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday. It's tax day, April 15th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted Local News and Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Monday is Political Face-Off Day. Love to hear what you have to say on our top today. We've got a couple of topics today. We'll touch on immigration. We'll talk about Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, officially declaring. 790-2040 is our live line number. But first, those pictures coming out of Paris, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, all three of us in this room have been there. We've seen Notre Dame. Oh my goodness, Bob Dio just pulled up this this image on the screen as Notre Dame still burning at this time. I think Jeff and John, anybody who goes to Paris, I know Ann and I have the iconic photo in front of Notre Dame. That's what a shocker, Jeff Rogers.
It's just shocking. I was there probably 8-9 years ago, and certainly that was my first trip to Paris, and it was it's really shocking to see this thing burning down. I mean, it looks like it's going to be completely wiped out.
Look at that. The only thing really shining through those flames still burning is the front, the facade. John Munger, shocking.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, it's one of the most beautiful buildings in the world, and it's just so sad. It'll be interesting to see how it started, of course.
John Munger is with us. John, Tucson attorney, former president, Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Mo, if you're listening, I'm going to have some more work for you. It seems like I've been dropping by every other Saturday. Jeff Rogers, Mayor Pete has now vaulted from literally unknown 37-year-old mayor of South Bend to third place behind Bernie and Joe Biden in the polling in Iowa, anyway.
Yeah, I saw the Iowa polls last that came out last Friday, about midday, and but he's pretty far behind them. I think they show.
I think he's got 11%.
Yeah, Biden in the mid-20s, and Bernie with something like 19%, and then he drops down to either 11 or 9. I can't remember which it was, but yeah, he has vaulted up to the top. He's a very it's done a great job as a two-term mayor of South Bend.
Indiana, your home state.
Indiana's my home state. Mm-hmm. My as we were talking about earlier, my uncle is the Senate Minority Leader and has been for 16 years back there. And he and my aunt know Buttigieg very well and speak very highly of him. And he's a good speaker and very charismatic, and I think makes for a very interesting candidate. On the other hand, though, he's quite young, being only 37, and from the speeches I heard yesterday, I didn't hear a lot of a lot of meat on the bones of policy discussions so far. So we'll see where he comes out on some of the policy issues and see if he's a serious enough candidate to really have a shot at it right now.
And it's so early, my goodness.
It's awfully early right now. You'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to Biden right now.
John, what do you think?
I pretty much agree with Jeff. I think that Buttigieg is an unproven product right now. We'll have to see how he comes down on the policies. It's tough in the Democratic Party because the party's moving so far left and to compete with Bernie and some of the other candidates, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and some of the others. He's going to have to move to the left. We'll see. He doesn't have any experience. There's no policy yet that he's expressed that I've seen.
Well, he's got a lot more experience than Donald Trump had.
Well,
the two-term mayor versus somebody who was a celebrity host show and crook.
we'll see. There's a lot to come out about Pete Buttigieg and see. We'll see what his policies are. That's the main thing that interests me.
I want to bring up immigration here. Our disgrace at the border, that was the title of the David Brooks column. I think it was Friday in the New York Times. Mr. Brooks says immigration is one of those issues which the extreme positions are wrong because the correct answer means balancing the competing goods. Is there any middle ground, John Munger, on immigration?
Sure, there's a middle ground. The middle ground is start with controlling the border and then enter into immediately get Congress to pass some laws, both Republicans and the Democrats, to pass some laws that stop these current problems we have, where we have all of these people being admitted to the country, overwhelming the country, being released into the interior of the country. They never show up for their hearings. About 97% never show up. Whatever the percentage is, Jeff, it's a huge percentage don't show up for their hearings. And we've got to redo our entire set of immigration laws so they work. I happen to agree with our president that America is a laughing stock of the world. We are not able to take in everybody who wants to come here. And we need to reprioritize who can come into this country and set up some laws that work. Our laws currently do not work. And unfortunately, neither party in Congress is doing anything about it.
Jeff?
Well, this is a unique and different problem, far different from the problems we've had with immigration before the last couple of years. This asylum issue is very daunting. We had twice as many people approach the border and ask for asylum in March this year as we had in March of last year. So it is a daunting problem. But there are several things we need to do to address it. Number one, the first thing we need to do is we need to probably up our aid to these Central American countries like Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. The problem is we're cutting off aid, aren't we? Instead, this president is doing the wrong thing by cutting off that aid. But the problem is that these places are basically being governed by, if you want to call it that, gangs and thugs and criminals, and even the existing government is suspect in some of these killings and tortures. On the way over here, I was listening to NPR on the radio, and oddly enough, they had a story about all of the women that were getting murdered in El Salvador, and these aren't people who are just getting shot and then they're dead. These are people that are being tortured to death, and then their bodies are mangled and torn up, beheaded. One of them was skinned alive. And that's why these people are leaving. It's women and children who are leaving these countries. They're desperate, and no amount of border fencing, no amount of border wall, no amount of militarization of our border is going to keep these people from trying to escape those kinds of consequences. And so we need to address those consequences where they're occurring so that these people don't have an incentive to leave the country and come to America. And secondly, we do need to have some bipartisanship. I hearken back to the Gang of Eight that came up with a comprehensive immigration bill that was then never brought to the floor of the House. Had it been brought to the floor of the House, there were enough votes to pass it, but the Republican leadership refused to bring it to the floor of the House. I am not optimistic that we'll get any kind of bipartisanship out of the White House. The White House denigrates immigrants. They create an atmosphere of hate and fear. And you just look at the threats that he's made over the weekend to this Representative Ilhan Omar, and you just, I don't have any hope for President Trump. The only thing that we can do to probably solve this problem is get rid of him. And once he's gone in 2020, maybe we'll have some kind of
John is chuckling here. Let's
some kind of bipartisanship.
The Trump hysteria is on the air. You don't. Jeff's admitted that the money that's going, he wants more money to go to these various countries, which he admits are run by thugs and gangs. Why in the world would you send more money to countries run by thugs and gangs who aren't going to get that money to the people?
Well, some of it goes to FBI and law enforcement work down there.
The second thing is, but that's not going to help the people directly. And the second thing is, we can't solve the problem of every country in the world that has some kind of internal conflict and civil war going on. We are just not able to do that. And that's what Jeff is talking about, is pick various countries, and anywhere there's a problem, anybody that's having problems, and they're serious problems in their country, we have to take them in? I don't think so. I think we need to make sure our border laws work. Our job is not to police every country in the world. Our job is not to make every country in the world better. Our job is to control our borders. And to do that, we need some immigration reform that works. In between times, we've got to control the border. We cannot just have people coming in at will because they have a problem in their home country. We are not big enough to take in everybody in the world that has a problem in their home country. I'm sorry for them, but that's not what immigration law is about.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Jeff, we'll come to you right after the break. But right now I've got good news about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. All the permitting apparently is done up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The chefs, the cooks have been hired. That means the hot breakfast probably will be cranked up here in another day or so up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. So the hot breakfast is coming. Right now they're open for lunch, so stop by Mona's. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com. Also, the Monday Political Face-Off, our longtime sponsor, our legacy sponsor for the program of the Face-Off. We've been doing the Face-Off every Monday since we launched the radio project in January of 2011, has been presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. When we return, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, I want to hear from them both about the president's plan to ship migrants to sanctuary cities like New York City, like San Francisco. That's still on the table, apparently. We'll hear what John and Jeff say about that right after this on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on this Monday, tax day, April 15th, 2019. 790-2040, our live line number. If you'd like to join in the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Of course, Moe is your go-to guy. He and his wonderful family for all of your framing needs, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff Rogers with us and John Munger, and a couple of calls waiting at 790-2040 on 1030 The Voice. Let's begin with Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say real quickly that, you know, that was a really discouraging, disheartening soliloquy by John Munger, and I can't accept that the United States of America, who has been given so much, could now give so little back to the world and to refugees. And I really think he needs to look to himself, to his soul. Tucson has done more with no help from the federal government. Catholic Community Services has done so much. Everybody should be trying to offer them support. And I think we can do more. Thank you. That's it. Bye.
Well, let me respond to that, Matt. Thank you for your comments. Let me refer you to the comments of the movie star Cher in Los Angeles, who's been a big supporter of the sanctuary movement, etc. And when the president discussed sending these people to the sanctuary cities, she objected. She says, "But my city, Los Angeles, isn't even taking care of its own. What about the 50,000 citizens who live in Los Angeles on the streets, people who live below the poverty line in Hungary? If my state can't take care of its own, how can it take care of more?" Well, what's happening now is people are coming in. They're not being sent to the sanctuary cities. You know what? They're being left in the border towns where they're being released. And the problem is the border towns have to accept these people. If Cher thinks Los Angeles has got a problem, how about the border towns where these people are being released? This isn't a matter of morals. This is a matter of what can the United States do to make the system work. Right now, we have a set of laws that require, when somebody comes to our port of entry, that requires the federal government, under our current laws, to let those people in if they seek asylum. We can put them away for 20 days, and after 20 days, we have to release the children. If we don't release the parents with the children, then the children are out in the streets by themselves. So what do we have to do? We have to release the parents and the children. And only a small percentage of those people ever appear for their hearing dates.
Now, so that's, you've made that false statement twice, John. It's over 80% of these people show up for their hearings.
That is not true.
It's absolutely
80%
true.
Do not,
no,
Jeff.
It's not. It's
and,
not, John.
And look at the statistics. And the fact of the matter is that we cannot just take these people into the country and leave the border towns to deal with it.
All right, let's go to Kay, who's been waiting on the live line. Hey, Kay.
Hi, I've got a couple comments.
Go ahead.
First of all, I have worked in some shelters for unaccompanied minors from these countries, and I had to interview them as a clinician and found that I'm going to guess about 90% came for economic reasons. I totally understand that. I've always thought if I won the lottery, I'd put some money down in Guatemala and have schools for teachers and nurses and so on. But also, there's got to be an orderly fashion to it. All the points you're making about not having enough room, it's like I tell my sister, she's got a two-bedroom condo. What if 200 people showed up at her door one day and said, hey, we want to come in. We only have so much. So I think something has to be done. It has to be in Congress. Also, the situation where unaccompanied minors can only be kept for 20 days is because of a lawsuit, Flores versus Janet Reno, way back when a girl from El Salvador had come and was put in detention with adults. Bad things happened. So once she turned 18, she lawyered up with some other immigrants, and they went to the lawsuit against Janet Reno that is what's keeping the issue of unaccompanied minors only being able to be detained for 20 days, and okay. Then they have to put into the least restrictive environment, which are these shelters.
All right. Okay.
We have to change that. We have to change the law that says anybody that comes to the door and asks for asylum gets into the country. We have to use a system, improve the system so that we have control. Before these people get into the country, they can apply for asylum, and we can handle it that way.
All right.
But they don't have to be in the country on the streets.
I want to hear from Jeff. We've not heard from Jeff about the sanctuary cities and all of that.
Here's the problem, is that we cannot punish democratic cities or states by sending migrants their way as a form of punishment. There's no legal authority to do that. And Congress, who allocates funding for these kinds of things, has not allocated any money to do so. And someone pointed out earlier in the morning today that not only would this be extremely costly, but the people that have to be doing the relocation would be the exact same people who we need at the border to screen these people coming across the border. What we need to do, because we don't have the political will and the bipartisanship to pass new laws or change the laws, as John is suggesting, then we need to throw some money at the border and put some more agents and more judges there. It's taking 2 years for these people to get a hearing. Once they get a hearing, approximately 20% of them are actually given asylum. So as the caller was remarking, quite a few people are found to have come here for economic reasons, and those people get rejected and are then deported. So the problem is we need to make the system more efficient. And we need to process these people in an orderly fashion. And we need to have a heart here. I mean, our birth rate in this country is plummeting. We're going the direction of Japan, where we're not going to have another generation of workers. And immigration is something that can help solve that, but we need to be careful about who we let in and who we don't let in.
All right, let's go to Joe, who's been calling and waiting. He called at 790-2040. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, you guys, you know what? I'm going to look to the dear heavens above, and I'm going to pray that you guys can come up with some other issues, because this immigration thing, it's just programmed fainting spells. And there's so many other problematic features going on with this country. I understand the problematic aspects of immigration, but this thing is really getting nauseating. It's getting tiring, and it's not the only issue.
All right.
I think you're right, Joe. It's not in the top five issues of most people. And I'll tell you the other thing that I find very interesting is that we live in a border county, and I don't see this as being that big of a problem right now down here, and we live in the on the border.
What are the five issues?
Well, we start talking about things like jobs, the economy, there are a whole host of things people are concerned about, but well before immigration comes up as a topic, and typically the people who are so concerned about immigration as a topic don't live anywhere near the border. And that's what I find the most curious is that people in the heartland are all worked up about immigration, and yet those of us who live on the border, we're not at all worked up about it.
Well, those people in the sanctuary cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco are all worked up to let people in until they have to start paying for it. Like Cher, they don't want to pay for it. Jeff has forgotten the fact that President Trump has brought on 100 new immigration judges. He's
not
brought
enough.
It may be not enough, Jeff, but let's start with not fixing the effects. Let's fix the problem. The problem is that we wouldn't need to be spending that money if we would fix our laws so that we didn't have to have these people coming in. They ought to be processing through a regular process where they seek asylum from overseas, as most people do who seek entry on a visa. They do it in their home country. They go to our embassy. They seek asylum or whatever visa they want.
That's not what our laws are.
And I know that's not what our laws are.
We have to live within our existing laws right now.
How about...
And we aren't going to be able to change them as long as we have somebody who Jennifer Rubin has described as a mob boss for our president.
Well, Jeff, that doesn't get us anywhere. I don't care what Jennifer Rubin, I don't know who she is.
She's a conservative writer for the Washington Post.
I don't care what she thinks. What I want to do is get the problem fixed. President Trump is spending what money we can spend, but we can't just live and say, well, the law is the law. We've got to change the law. Meanwhile, President Trump is doing everything he can do.
Let's see if we can get Robert in. I know we're out of time, but Robert, real quickly, what's on your mind, please?
Bill, this is not facetious.
Okay.
All these people who say that we have open arms and we greet everybody should sign up to foster some of these families in their own home, or it's just a bunch of pontification.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Let's have Cher take
I think a lot of people do that at more than you realize.
Let's have Cher take some people into her mansion in Beverly Hills.
All right, John Munger. John, good to see you. Thanks for coming in. Jeff Rogers, always a pleasure. Thank you. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Thanks to all of our callers today on our topic on the Monday Political Face-Off. All right, coming up next, David Safir. David writes for the Tucson Weekly, writes about education primarily. He's next on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 Trusted Local News and Talk, April 15th, tax day upon us. Support for Buckmaster. We have such great partners on this program. One of them is Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, a 13-acre site loaded with all of your gardening needs. Of course, they've got every imaginable plant for your garden, and now they've got wonderful merchandise. Zocalo is now based there. There's actually a whole Zocalo village, 5 shops. Great merchandise, much of it handmade from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check out AZ, greenthingsaz.com for more information. David Safir joins us now. David writes about education issues at TucsonWeekly.com in their column that's known as The Range. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Really sad news about Notre Dame in Paris.
I visited it, and I was thinking as I looked at it about going in there, and I'm not a terribly religious guy, and my background is neither Christian nor Catholic, but I would go in there and get this spiritual feeling. You look up those vaults and you feel like you're looking at the vault of heaven there. It's an overwhelmingly beautiful building, and it just to see it going up like that. But you know, so much of the building is stone, the flying buttresses and the columns in the center, that I'm hoping that it's kind of hollowing out the center, which is more wooden, and leaving the structure. And the wooden stuff, even though it may be priceless, can be replaced. I'm hoping that
the art treasures alone, you know, are going to be gone. And of course, that shot that we have up on the screen that David and I are looking at from CBS News does show, it's like, just as you say, the center's been hollowed out.
Yeah.
And the fire's still going.
I know. And the stained glass, which is also on the walls and is glass and can be cleaned if it doesn't break, they are just absolutely exquisite. I love the cathedrals in France, that and Chartres and some of the other ones that I've visited. And this just, it just hurts seeing this.
David, let's talk a little bit about one of your recent columns at TucsonWeekly.com pertaining to the president of the TUSD governing board. I believe he's still the president. Was there a 6-month deal for Dr. Mark Stegeman?
Right, and we'll see what happens.
Hand it off to. I actually forget who he was going to hand it off to.
I don't think it's been decided. That's my sense is that it's going to happen later, and we don't know.
Anyway, he is still the TUSD board president. And you had a lot of reaction to your column. Give our listeners a little idea about what you wrote about.
Well, the very good thing that happened is there have been 2 recent votes by the Tucson Unified School District Board concerning the students who are members of the two Native American nations, the Tohono O'odham and the Paskayaki. And the first one said that people who graduate should be allowed to wear their regalia from their tribal unit to show their pride. And that's been kind of stepped back in any number of ways. And the board voted unanimously to allow that to happen. And I think it's wonderful. You know, you want people in the audience to see you. You want to feel that you're representing yourself and your tribe and the whole person that you are. You're not simply a student. You're a member of a community. The next one was to actually hang the flags of the two nations in the boardroom, the same size, next to the U.S. flag and the Arizona flags. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what the placement would be. And for that, the vote was 4-1. And Mark Stegeman, the president of the board currently, was the one person who objected to it. And I think he was flat out wrong. And not only me, but Ernesto Portillo, who writes for The Star, who's been writing a weekly column for years and is, you know, just really a wonderful writer and deals with mainly with the Hispanic community, just went after Mark about this as well. So Mark, as usual, does not let any negative comments go unanswered. So he wrote his own column. And in his column, I think he betrayed the main flaw of Mr. Stegeman as a board member. Not a flaw as a person, but a flaw as a board member. And the flaw is that he doesn't understand the emotive part of education. He doesn't understand that, he said in his column, that education means teaching facts and skills. Well, yes, of course, education means teaching facts and skills. But I'm a teacher of 30 plus years in the classroom. And I know that if I approach my classes simply as facts and skills, a certain number of my students would do as well as they always have. And other ones, their eyes would roll and their heads would go down and their minds would go elsewhere. And I wouldn't reach them unless I connected with them, unless I said, I respect you, not by saying the words, but the way I act, and gain their respect back. Well, TUSD has gained, I think, the respect, I hope, of people of the two Native American tribal units that are in this area by saying, we listen to you. And this is important. The members of the tribe, both the students, people who work in the district, university people, and parents all worked on this for years. And they said, we care about this. And the district said, we care about you. We agree. Something tells me from my experience in the classroom that these kids are going to walk into their classrooms feeling a little bit more accepted, saying, if they're accepting me, maybe I should accept them, listening a little bit harder, working a little bit harder. And Bill, in the classroom, a certain amount of it is the intellect of the students and a certain amount of it is what they bring to the classroom, but a certain amount of it is simply them saying, geez, I'm going to pay attention to you, I'm listening to you, and I'm going to try as hard as I possibly can to learn and to achieve in this classroom. If you don't get that, it doesn't work. And unfortunately, Mark Stegeman just has trouble understanding that concept, and it makes him a less of a board member than he should be. And I've said this, I've written this. Mark and I have a history. We knew each other personally through the Democratic Party, and we've talked a lot. We spent hours talking over coffee over the years until a few years back when we stopped doing that. And I said to him, and I say here, that if that's not a part of who he is, if he doesn't teach that way, he's a college professor, probably a good college professor, and he doesn't feel that himself, if he realizes that's something that he doesn't react to well, then he should say, I'm going to defer on those areas to people who understand the emotive, the affective area better than I do. The fact that he doesn't, and he lets his own ego get in the way, makes him, I believe, a destructive force, which is why I said, and he must not have liked this very much, I commented that I'm saying this not with due respect, Mark, but without respect, because I think you're not respecting the students. I can't give you respect.
What was
his
response to your...
Well, interestingly, he almost always responds when I write about him, and sometimes he's very defensive, but in this case, his response was rather nice. And this, by the way, this is a blog post, so he wrote under the blog post along with about half a dozen other people. He wrote, David, he addressed me by name, David, I probably should have said that education is primarily about teaching facts and skills. Socialization is an important part, and one of the main arguments for preserving the traditional districts is the advantage students gain from interacting with students from a wide range of backgrounds. And I think that was a very nice statement. I'm glad that he came back rather than having his backup, responded to what I said and listened. But you know, he's talking about socialization, and that's good. That's important. Students rubbing elbows with students who are different from them. But he's not talking about the fact that the emotive level, the emotional relationship between the student and the teacher, the student and the principal, the student and the school district is an important part of the way they learn. And I wish he would pick that up, because he makes any number of votes, especially the whole Mexican-American kerfuffle that was just so painful in this district and was involved in the entire state. He was one of those people who kind of felt squeamish about the whole program because they were too, we didn't use the word touchy-feely, but they were kind of too emotive and too dealing with students' feelings about the world as it relates to Mexican Americans, and that bothered him. That's one of the reasons he objected to it, and that was one of the strong points of the program, which he unfortunately just has trouble understanding.
790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call. David Safir sticks around for another segment. Green Things, one of our great sponsors, we told you about them at the beginning of the segment. I also want to tell you about Silver City, just a great opportunity to drive 3 hours and see an area that is really a beautiful area of the southwestern portion of the land of enchantment. That is New Mexico. It's a beautiful area of the Southwest. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're coming up now on 1246 on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. David Safir, who writes primarily about education at the Tucson Weekly, he'll stick around. And if there is something that you heard during that first segment with David that you perhaps don't agree with, or if you agree with him, hear from you too. 790-2040. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. David Safir is with us. David writes primarily about education issues at TucsonWeekly.com in their section they call The Range. David, I want to talk a little bit about, there's a new study saying the gap between test scores of high-income and low-income students has remained remarkably constant since the 1950s.
And that's the surprising thing. Yeah, I read this, and I'm used to seeing scores that start from the 1970s.
Right.
And seeing the gap and how they analyze it. But these people went back and found, it's not as complete data from 1950 and 1970, but they found data that showed that from over the whole period of time, there was very, very little variation in the gap between wealthy students, students from wealthy families, and students from less wealthy families. When they talk about the top 10% of families, students from there, and the bottom 10%, they said that it's a consistent, well, they used the statistical term one standard deviation, which I really don't understand, but they said that's the equivalent of 4 years of education.
4 years?
4 years. Now, that would mean that the same child or kids who are the same age from the 10%, if they were scoring at the eighth grade level, kids from the bottom 10% would be scoring at the fourth grade level. Well, that's a gigantic change or difference between them. And the most important thing is that it stayed virtually constant. I saw their graph, and their graph went down a tiny bit, then up a tiny bit, but it all stayed in that four-year achievement gap. And it's a profound conclusion. And to me, it leads me to think some things that I've already thought, but even more so. And this is going to sound like I'm demeaning education or saying it's not that important, but I think it shows that in terms of the society in general, education, I'm not going to say isn't that important, but isn't that powerful as a change mechanism. If everybody's getting it, it simply hasn't changed the equation. And people are always saying, well, there's this gap. These kids have got to pick themselves up from their bootstraps. They're not trying hard enough. And yet over the, what are we talking, 50? We're talking 70 years. Over the course of 70 years, with all the changes we've made with integration and changing the way we're teaching and any number of changes, it stayed constant. And here's what that tells me. That tells me that the problems, for all the fact that we can be teaching better, that the problems have to do with the very nature of poverty, the very nature of living in poverty in the United States of America that exacerbates this problem. And there's a level of stress that people experience when they worry about the next meal, when they're sleeping in too crowded an environment where they can't get good sleep, where there are noises that are frightening noises outside, whether they're sirens or gunshots or whatever they happen to be, when they don't know about their food, they don't know about health, their family is in a transitional situation, they're thinking about moving, all these things. You take a 6-year-old or even an 18-year-old, when that person walks into school, they're carrying all of these burdens with them, all the stress with them.
And of course, then, with all those stressors, education is going to become a low priority for these kids.
How can you even concentrate? I mean, if I'm feeling poorly,
I'm an adult, but yeah. I can't do some things at the same level that I do them. If I'm worried about family matters, if for God's sake, if I'm going to go to court that afternoon, thank God I don't have to worry about that.
If you're in pain.
Or I'm in pain. Any of those, you try to talk to me and I'm going to be someplace else. I'm not going to be paying as much attention. And there are studies, and I usually say about studies that I don't exactly believe them, but these are so clear and so obvious that stress literally lowers your tests on achievement or even IQ scores. One thing that I just read, I was looking over this stuff this morning, and they checked kids who were in areas where plants were closing, you know, manufacturing plants. And obviously that's a stress on the kids. And their achievement goes down. But here's the thing that's interesting, Bill. Even the kids whose parents kept their jobs, their achievement went down, meaning the general stress and anxiety in the community around them, not even in their own home where they have their job, they may be worried about it a little bit, still got food on the table, still living in the same place where they were living. Even the fact that the whole community is buzzing with this kind of anxiety brings down their level of concentration and thought. They don't become stupider, but their ability to concentrate fades. And as I was talking in the earlier segment, so much of it is what students bring into the classroom. I'm really going to work on this. I'm really going to think on it. I care about this. And if you say, I'm not going to worry about it, I don't care about this stuff, you simply aren't going to get as much. You're not going to maximize your education relative to your potential. And it's just, it's terrible. You know, people have been talking lately about the concept of PTSD in poor areas, you know, not just people coming back from war. And these kids are not in post-traumatic stress syndrome. They're in constant traumatic stress. And if you're like that, your chances in education are going to be minimized. So here's what I'm going to say.
The bottom line is, if you want to improve your scores and you want to improve education for these people, you've got to help the economic conditions that they're living in.
That's it exactly. And if I were to say that we were to put money one place or another, I would say the schools, as imperfect as they are not bad right now. Some of them are worse, some of them are better, but they're not bad. If I had a choice, I would say don't put a penny into education, put money into healthcare, put money into increasing nutrition, putting clothes on people's back, taking care of some of the stressors in a community. If you do that, the kids who walk into the classroom are going to be different people. And even if the teacher and the classroom and the money is the same, they're going to be better learners. And that's something that, unfortunately, we don't look at, because people would rather blame education, especially people who don't want to put money into social programs. They'd rather blame education. And this study is one of the many things that says that's an issue. It's not the primary issue that's holding people back and creating the huge separations in our society, not just economic, but educational and all kinds of things.
How does that, the equation of, say, throwing money like the District of Columbia has done at some very poor districts and the achievement doesn't go up?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. There's a lot of money that goes into Washington, D.C. schools, and it's not that it doesn't change, that it doesn't move the needle as much as it should, but I'm going to be writing fairly soon about something that's going on in, what is LeBron James' hometown? Remind me.
Is it Akron? Akron, Ohio.
He has opened a school, which is a public school, and they just had an article on it. I've read about it before, but a long article in the New York Times on Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember which, they talked about the fact that these kids who they purposely chose because they were having so much trouble in other schools are really beginning to show benefits from what they're doing. So there are, and he's put some money in it, but he hasn't put gigantic amounts of money into the education end. So there are ways to do this the right way. I think that people use D.C. say, well, D.C. spends, I don't know, $12,000 or $15,000, and we spend $7,000 per student, and look, it's not that different. Well, the children in D.C. are in a completely different situation. They're not us, so it's not a straight comparison.
Interesting. We had a caller, David, just a few moments ago. We don't have time to put her on the air, but she was wondering about how some of these poorer areas, inner city areas, have higher pollution rates too. And one more thing to add to the stressors,
about lead, you talk about pollution, sure. You talk about any number of things, anything that's a literal physical stress on the body, which pollution is, you know, your eyes are runny, your kids get asthma, sure. They have more allergies, all those things affect it. And anyone who thinks about themselves on a bad day when, you know, you and I were talking mm-hmm. allergies earlier, yeah. when their allergies are crazy, they are not their best. We'll translate that to every possible stressor in your life. And you're a little kid. You're 6 years old or you're a young adult.
And you're trying to go to school and do a good job. It's tough. David Sefier, very good information for us. A lot to think about today. And we'll look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com. David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, this Monday edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. On behalf of David Sefier, with me here in studio, and Bob Dio, who is on the other side of the glass in our beautiful, fairly new, relatively new control room still, want to say have a great afternoon and evening, and we've got Steve Rivera coming up with his sports show, Eye on the Ball, right after this.